Backed by popular demand, the AFA Easter Button is here. The bold new stained glass design features the cross at the center under the message, "He is risen." This beautiful design tells the story in one line. It's a conversation starter, so you might share the saving truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. A 10-pack of buttons is $15. 10 or more 10-packs are just $7 each. Order today at resources.afa.net. That's resources.afa.net. He is risen indeed. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you had a great weekend. We sure had a wonderful weekend here in Texarkana, Texas, and a great day yesterday at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We baptized three and we sang praises, and the Spirit of the Lord was working, and we prayed. I had a special time of prayer and praying for breakthrough. You know, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 5, and then also 1 Chronicles chapter 14, it's twice in Scripture, that when David fought the Philistines, he prayed and he said, "God, will you deliver them into my hand?" And God said, "Yes, go fight them." And so he fought them. And he said, "The Lord," and he won a great victory. He said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies like the breakthrough of many waters." And he called that place Baal Perazim, which is the master of breakthroughs. God is the master of breakthroughs, which is such an encouragement, because if you're like most people, there's something in your life that you're praying about and you need a breakthrough. You know, so often when we have a problem in our family, I heard it said, and this is so true, there's no pain like family pain. And when you have a wayward son or daughter, a wayward grandson or granddaughter, when you're praying for a parent or a sibling to come to Christ and you need a breakthrough, you don't know what to do, you want to always preach to them, so to speak, and you have to really keep yourself in check from doing that. That is not effective, although that tends to be our default setting. And maybe I'd just say one more thing and that would cause the light to come on. But we need a breakthrough. And so we can pray to the master of breakthroughs. God is the God who gives breakthrough. And so whatever your need is, you know, for lots of us, we have this besetting sin that's talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud surrounding us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, the sin which so easily besets us, and that let us run with endurance the race. So we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And so many of us, we have that sin that seems to always eat our lunch. Whether it is the sin of bitterness, we get our feelings hurt very easily and we hold on to those things, whether it's the sin of worry. You know, many people don't like to think about that, but worry is a sin. Worry is the opposite of trusting God. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 6, three times, very definitively, don't be anxious, don't worry. Be anxious, Philippians 4, for nothing. Worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Many people deal with worry. Many people deal with bitterness. Many guys I know, they deal with lust. And it's just a difficult, difficult area for them. And we constantly, you seem to be doing well, and boom, then something comes up and you fall prey to lust again. You know, whatever it might be, self-esteem, it's that sin that so easily entangles. And so we have to pray and we look to the God of breakthroughs and we say, "Lord, do a breakthrough here, a breakthrough in my life in this area, so that I could walk in victory and I don't constantly fall and fall and fall and fall." So whatever your situation is, just know, as we prayed yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana, invited people to the altar to pray, God is the God of breakthroughs. and he can give a breakthrough as we trust him and as we look to him. Now, as far as breakthroughs go, we have said on this program, and many people have agreed, that the election in 2024 was a result of answered prayer. Now, we had two very flawed candidates that were vying for the presidency of the United States of America. The Apostle Paul wasn't on the ballot. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's not running for anything. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But this perfect candidate wasn't on the ballot. So we had two very flawed candidates. I was watching a video this morning, and this guy was trying to pull a Charlie Kirk and on the liberal side, and he was saying, you know, change my mind. I think that Kamala Harris would have been a much better president than Donald Trump, and she has better character, she has better policies, changed my mind. Well, it's very debatable to say that she has a better character than Donald Trump. Many people point to, well, Trump did this, Trump did that, and Trump's immoral. Well, so is Kamala Harris. I mean, she had an affair with Willie Brown and broke up a marriage, and so you can, you know, it's like, well, who's the worst sinner between those two? And so you can, you know, come up with that argument and say, oh, well, you say that Trump being elected president was an answer to prayer. It was an answer to prayer for this reason, because we knew that with Harris presidency, we were going to move further and further left. And free speech was really on the ballot. I mean, it was going to become a crime, just like in Germany we've seen, where if you like some social media post or comment on a social media post that's positive, and they deem that hate speech, they're going to come and arrest you. That was the direction we were headed. Well, we don't have that direction with Donald Trump, and it was a vote for law and for order and for the freedom to preach the gospel unhindered. And, you know, as you remember in her rally, when somebody yelled out Jesus is Lord, she boldly, openly said, you're at the wrong rally. You need to go to the smaller rally down the street if you think Jesus is Lord. Well, obviously Jesus wasn't Lord at her rallies. And then they yelled that out when J.D. Vance was speaking, Jesus is Lord. And he said, that's right, Jesus is Lord. And so there's a big, big difference in the party platforms, a big, big difference. So that was an answer to prayer from the perspective of many, many, many believers. Now, there are those who are liberal in their theology, and they see Trump as evil, evil, evil. Now, last week I did a program called Blinded by the Hate. Kind of a takeoff on Blinded by the Light, that song way back in the 70s. But Blinded by the Hate, many people hate Donald Trump so much that they're just blinded by the hate. And we're seeing that played out. And now, whenever a person has hate in his heart, it's a serious, serious issue. It's not a minor thing to hate your brother. It's a major thing. This is what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. For this is the message, beginning in verse 11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. It's serious, serious. It's a serious issue if you start to hate another person. And you can be blinded by the hate. And when hate gets in your heart, then all you can think about is lashing out. You're so bitter and so angry about this person. Now, listen, as Christians, you can't let that get into your heart. The Lord says very clearly, Matthew chapter 6, when he gives us the model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the model for prayer. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17, and you can read what Jesus prayed as he prayed his great high priestly prayer before the cross. But Jesus said in the model prayer, this is how you pray. This is the model for prayer. And forgive us our debts. I'll just go into the middle of it. And forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You cut off your relationship with God. You cut off your lifeline, so to speak, if you don't forgive. And the Lord says, we're never going to have a relationship if you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and hatred toward another person. Now, I posted on Facebook just a few days ago, and I talked about being blinded by the hate, and I talked about how, sadly, you have people that They hate Donald Trump so much, and now Elon Musk, they hate him equally, that they can't even see straight. I mean, it's just become whatever he says, whatever he does, I hate it because it came from him. And so I challenged the people that are my quote-unquote friends on Facebook. I said, listen, you got to check your heart. And if you, you know, I see people posting things and you know, it's obvious that Trump's not their favorite guy. That's putting it mildly. And they need to check their heart. I can't get into a person's heart, so I don't know. Man sees the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. But, you know, do people need to ask themselves, do I hate Donald Trump? I had a series of 8 questions. How do you know if there's hate in your heart toward another person, toward the president or toward Elon Musk or toward J.D. Vance or anybody? It could be your basketball coach or your, you know, the guy that is your nemesis at school or somebody at work that you just can't stand. Do I wish for this person to be assassinated, mainly Trump, to be assassinated? Would I rejoice in his death? Is it impossible for me to find anything this person says or does that I would applaud? When this person's name is mentioned, do I feel the anger rise up within me? Does it instantly put me in a foul mood? You know, Elon Musk said he was at a party a few months before the election, and he mentioned Donald Trump's name, and he said it was like everybody in the party got injected with a mixture of rabies and methamphetamines. He said they just were staring daggers at me for even mentioning his name. So when this person's name is mentioned, that's how you can really tell if you're bitter towards somebody. Do you feel the anger rising up within you? Does the hair on the back of your neck stand up? You're just like, ugh. If you remember from the show Happy Gilmore, when he got in a fight with Bob Barker, and then somebody mentioned Bob Barker's name to Happy Gilmore. He goes, I just hate that Bob Barker. And, you know, it's just his name was mentioned. Does that put me in a foul mood? And does the anger rise up? Question number 4, do I find myself angrily thinking about this person a lot each day? Do they live in my head, you know, rent-free? Number 5, have I cut ties with anyone, this is going back to Trump, who voted for him or speaks positively about him? Are they unworthy of friendship? We've all heard about people that you can't be my friend anymore. I've defriended all these people. I've cut these people out of my life because they committed the unpardonable sin of voting for Donald Trump. Number 6, do I believe my hateful stance against him is warranted before God? Now, of course, God wants me to hate this person because God hates them. God doesn't hate anybody. God hates wicked deeds, wicked thoughts. But if God hated wicked people, that would include you and me, because there's none righteous, not even one, and we'd all be sunk. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Number 7, if I could be alone with him, speaking of Trump, would I want to do him personal harm? As Joe Biden said he wanted to beat him up, Robert De Niro, Alec Baldwin, all the women on The View, Madonna and others have publicly stated. Madonna was talking about blowing up the White House. Number 8, would I feel justified in killing him if I could to save our democracy and Constitution, of course? Hey, listen, if you hate another person, newsflash, it doesn't hurt them, it hurts you. Hatred in the heart is like having toxic waste in your heart. It will just destroy you. It will destroy your health. It will destroy your emotional well-being. It will destroy your relationships with other people. Bitterness spreads like a cancer. You have to get it out. You have to bring that before the Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we're talking about dealing with what's going on in the country, as Elon Musk calls it, the woke mind virus, and the hatred that is directed toward the people leading our country. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about this question, is there hate in your heart? We're seeing much hate in America today, political hate, people hating Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Elon Musk. Elon Musk, who was the darling of the left just a few months ago, but because he threw his weight behind Donald Trump and now is very active in Donald Trump's administration as he heads up the Department of Government Efficiency, people hate him. And now they're coming after his Tesla company and going after the dealerships and smashing the windows of the dealerships and trying to deface the cars and going after the charging stations and setting those on fire or whatever they're doing to them to disrupt. And he found out, Elon Musk posted this just, I think it was yesterday. He said an investigation has found 5 ActBlue funded groups responsible for Tesla protests, put protests in italics or in quotations, troublemakers, disruption project, rise and resist, individual project, and Democratic Socialists of America. Those are all the ActBlue funded groups. ActBlue funders include George Soros, Reid Hoffman, Herbert Sandler, and Patricia Bauman, and Lee Hunt Hendricks. ActBlue is currently under investigation for allowing foreign and illegal donations in criminal violation of campaign finance regulations. This week, 7 ActBlue senior officials resigned, including the Associate General Counsel. And he says, if you know anything about this, please post in the replies. Thanks, Elon. Well, they're going after his business because they hate him, because of what he is doing with DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. Now, why would anyone be against an honest audit of the government? You ask yourself that question. That doesn't make any sense at all. All of us should be open. Any kind of a business that is publicly traded, all of our, it's your money, my money, our money that supports the government. So we should be able to audit that and find out where the money is going. And if there is discrepancy, if there are big holes in the paper trail, as it was in the situation with the Pentagon, Elon Musk said there was $12 billion given to the Pentagon for a particular project. And they couldn't come up with it. Oh, we don't know what happened with that. Well, good grief. You know, you're starting to get into real money there. Tongue in cheek. But how do you not know what happened with that vast amount of money? You know, you get in trouble, you know, as an individual, if all of a sudden you have hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars that you can't account for. You know, if you work at a company and you're the controller of a company, and they do an audit and the books don't match. You've been cooking the books, or you can't explain, you know, this amount of money, whether it's 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, 500,000, a million, whatever it might be. Well, you're in serious trouble. Now, the question is, why would someone do this? Because as Elon Musk pointed out, he sat down with Joe Rogan the other day for 3 hours or however long they were talking, a long time. But he was talking about the problem of the deficit and the problem of waste. And this is what he had to say.
I really want to emphasize to people that this is a very important point. If we don't solve the deficit, there won't be money for medical care. There won't be money for Social Security. We either solve the deficit or all we'll be doing is paying debt. It's got to be solved, or there's no medical care. There's no Social Security. There's no nothing. It's got to be solved. It's not optional. America will go bankrupt if this is not done. That's why I'm here.
All right, so you have to solve the debt, otherwise you go bankrupt. We can all understand that. I mean, if you keep spending in your personal finances and you spend way more than you could possibly ever pay back, eventually the credit card company is going to cut you off and you go broke. Now, this was, I think that was maybe a clip when he talked to Sean Hannity. He later talked to Joe Rogan. Here's him talking about addressing waste in government.
If we address the massive deficit spending, the waste in the government, then we can actually address inflation. So provided the economy grows faster than the money supply, which means you stop the government overspending and the waste, and the output of real useful goods and services exceeds the increase in the money supply, you have no inflation. Yeah. And you also drop the interest payments that people pay, because if the government
keeps too high.
Yes, the reason the interest payments are so high is because the national debt keeps increasing. So the government is competing to sell debt with the private citizens. This drives up the interest rate. So if you cut back on the deficit, you actually have an amazing situation for people, because you get rid of inflation and you drop the interest rates.
So that's him explaining why it's so important for DOGE to do its job and to look at things with have it go through a fine tooth comb and say, hey, where did the money go? What was this for? And if it's for something that's just totally ridiculous, then let's cut it out. Now, Marco Rubio, he posted today, he said, after a 6-week review, we are officially canceling 83% of the programs at USAID. The 5,200 contracts that are now canceled spent tens of billions of dollars in ways that did not serve, and in some cases even harmed, the core national interests of the United States. In consultation with Congress, we intend for the remaining 18% of programs we are keeping, approximately 1,000, to now be administered more effectively under the State Department. Thank you to DOGE and our hardworking staff who worked very long hours to achieve this overdue and historic reform. 83% they cut out because it was total waste, and a lot of it was fraud. Every American ought to applaud that. Now, if you worked for USAID and you lost your job, and maybe you weren't part of the fraud, but you got caught up, there is going to be collateral damage in those kinds of things. But those are necessary. As much as we hate it for the good people that lost their jobs, it's necessary if we're going to solve the deficit problem, as Elon Musk said, and if we're going to address waste, and if we're going to try and get to a place of responsible spending in government. Now, the question comes into play. Why are the people in the left, on the left, and why is George Soros funding Act Blue, and now we're going to be violent? See, when hate gets in your heart, then you're going to come at this person. We see that a lot with the left. When they're upset, what do? They have protests, but they're never protests without violence. They're coming in like a gang, and they're burning things down, as we saw in the a few years ago, where they're burning down cities, burning down police stations there in Minneapolis, and it's just awful. And people die in those situations. People get badly hurt in those situations. People lose all kinds of property in those situations. And Elon Musk said, why do we see, we always seem to see this from the left. That's how they respond, is with violence. Well, he explains why this is, how it all ties together. And, you know, Elon Musk, we don't hold him up as this man of virtue and man of, of this strong moral character. He's not that, but he's a very smart guy. And you can be, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to be able to see things, especially from an economic standpoint, and put pieces together and say, well, this is why people are responding the way they're responding. You know, he is brought up with some of the big names on the left, Hakeem Jeffries and Senator Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer, and these people that have had a lifetime in politics, making $175,000, $200,000 a year, and have a net worth that's 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million plus. Nancy Pelosi, you know, it's huge net worth. How did you get that wealthy on a job that pays you $200,000 a year? It doesn't add up. Where did all that money come from? Well, this is what Elon Musk puts together, and I believe this was his discussion with Joe Rogan.
So if I were to say, like, what's at the heart of the sort of, like, why is the Democrat propaganda machine so fired up to destroy me? That's the main reason. The main reason is that entitlements fraud, that includes like Social Security, disability, Medicaid, entitlements fraud for illegal aliens is what is serving as a gigantic magnetic force to pull people in from all around the world and keep them here. Like basically, if you pay people at a standard of living that is above 90% of Earth, then you have a very powerful incentive for 90% of Earth to come here and to stay here. But if you end the illegal alien fraud, then you turn off that magnet, and they leave, and they stop coming, and the ones that are here, many of them will simply leave. And if that happens, they will lose a massive number of Democratic voters.
And if it didn't happen, they would turn those people into voters.
Correct.
Which they were trying to do.
They are already turning them. So in New York State, illegal aliens can already vote in state and city elections. A lot of people don't know that. They're trying to fight that, and they're trying to stop that. But currently, I think it's like 600,000 are registered to vote, illegal aliens, in New York.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So that's his reasoning. He says they want to have this, you know, this fire hydrant of money going out to draw people who come into this country illegally, and so that they can pay them off to become voters. And if they can flood the decks in these areas, in these cities, you know, they're busting them all over the place, and they flood the decks in these cities, in these swing states, well, then the swing states don't become swing states anymore, because they're going to buy their voters, and they are going to stay in power. And Elon Musk and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and everybody in Trump's cabinet, Marco Rubio, they represent a threat to that. Well, when you understand it in those terms, then it makes sense. Oh, okay. Well, you hate that guy because he's exposing your corruption. You think about, why did people hate Jesus? Why did the religious leaders hate Jesus? Jesus is love in the flesh. Why did they hate him? Because he exposed them. Because as Jesus told his brothers, the world can't hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. People don't like to be called out on the carpet. They don't like to be exposed. Jesus said, light has come into the world, John chapter 3, when he talks about, being born again, he talks about God so loved the world. He says this, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Anybody that is shining the light on corruption, waste, ineptitude, fraud, well, what do they want to do? They want to destroy that guy. They want to come after that guy. And as Ben said, I saw this on X today, people were saying, hey, Christians, we need to be praying for Donald Trump. We need to be praying for J.D. Vance. We need to be praying for Elon Musk. We need to be praying for their hearts, that they would be made right with God and come into a personal relationship with Jesus if they don't have that. And they need to have the wisdom of God, but they need to be protected by God, because there are lots of people that would love to destroy them. Now, you may have heard that early Sunday morning, there was a guy, obviously unhinged, that was at the White House, tried to break into the White House. And what was he trying to do? He had a gun. It was later found that it was a BB gun, but the Secret Service didn't know that. They just knew this guy had crossed the perimeter, had a gun, and he was coming supposedly to assassinate Donald Trump. And, you say, well, why is that? Well, Elon Musk, in addition, as he was talking to Joe Rogan, he said the media has a part to play in radicalizing these people that are unhinged.
If people have fed nonstop propaganda, it is like mass hypnosis.
Right.
You're going to reach some number of people who are, homicidal, and convince them that, well, if you kill this guy who's supposed to be like this a terrible human, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you can convince folks like that, they're unhinged, and they're not thinking straight, and they have Trump derangement syndrome or Musk derangement syndrome or whatever it might be, and you tell them, hey, this guy's Hitler, this guy is a fascist, he's a Nazi, he's the Antichrist, we need to stop him at all costs, then it makes sense that somebody like that would hear that message over and over and over again and say, I have to do this, I have to go kill quote-unquote Hitler. Well, it is a terrible thing to have hate in your heart. It's a terrible thing, and it poisons your whole life. And it is sad to see. I was thinking about Psalm 20, verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. That's a big difference. If you're trusting in government versus trusting in God, that tells you a lot about yourself. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about this question, is there hate in your heart? We don't like to think about that for us. We can see other people, that person's a hater, that person's a hater, that other person's a hater. But when it comes to us, we don't like to think like that. Oh, no, especially if you claim the name of Christ, you go, oh, no, I'm not, I don't hate that person. I just hate what they do. Well, it's okay to hate what people do. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, the Lord says to the church in Ephesus, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We can hate people's deeds. We can hate people's ideas. We can hate politicians' policies, but we can't hate the person. Now, I think we would, if we're honest, we'd have to agree that the issue that people have with Donald Trump and now Elon Musk goes past their politics. It goes past their, what they stand for. It goes to the person. They hate the person. I heard Bill O'Reilly talk about that, talking about the ladies on The View. He said the ladies on The View, they don't just disagree with Donald Trump. They hate him. Now, I will say this. I think Bill Maher, the liberal talk show host that has the Real Time with Bill Maher, you know, he's a comedian, he's a foul-mouthed guy, but he has some insightful things to say. And I appreciate the fact that he's not just on the I hate Trump bandwagon and whatever comes out of Trump's mouth, I'm just going to hate it. He calls out the left and he says, hey, you need to have some ideas to offer. You know, just constantly yelling and shaking your cane during the Trump speech is not effective. That's not doing anything to move the ball forward. We have to have ideas. So what is the idea from the left to stop the war between Russia and Ukraine? Because just continuing to give Ukrainians money and watching them get mowed down along with the Russians, that's not a good solution. And so you have to have some solutions. And we don't see a lot of those ideas coming from the left. We didn't see, on the campaign trail, what was Kamala Harris going to do when she was asked questions? What are you going to do different? Because the 75%, I think, when she had that one interview with Bret Baier, say the country's going in the wrong direction. So what are you going to do to address that? And her answer was, I'm going to blame Donald Trump. She didn't say it quite like that, but that was basically, we got to just know that it's Donald Trump. Well, that can't be the answer to every problem. And if you say that, as she said on The View, I'm not going to do anything different than what Joe Biden is doing, that's a big reason why she didn't get elected. Praise the Lord. The other big reason was that God answered the prayers of the saints as we prayed, and we asked the Lord to give America one more chance to get things right, to return our country to law and order and freedom of speech and, all the woke mind virus and all the racism that has been perpetrated on America by the media to keep fanning the flames of all that. We need to get back to Martin Luther King's dream that my little children would be judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Get out identity politics and start having a merit-based system of advancement. Well, that's fair to all. Well, we're going to the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment on what we've been talking about today. Give me a call. And we have Tom on the line from Oklahoma. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor. Good to talk to you.
Thanks,
sir. I heard this morning, I guess it's breaking news, that on Columbia University campus, Marco Rubio is going to have a Palestinian national who's here on a student visa deported because he was funded by, I guess, Hamas. I don't know. But he was funded by some terrorist group and was, encouraging the protests that were going on campus. And Marco Rubio is going to have him removed. And I guarantee you the media is going to call this a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And, if it's on the news, it's got to be true. So, it's not like I can verify this stuff sitting in my living room. But if it's true that that's what's happening, that's how the media is going to handle it.
Right. Well, everything's going to be spun negatively against Donald Trump because they can't be objective when it comes to him. They just, you know, once you're blinded by the hate, then any time the guy opens his mouth, I don't care what you say, I hate it. I don't care what you're doing, I'm against it. That's kind of what we saw in Living Color last Tuesday when the Democrats wouldn't clap for the 13-year-old boy with brain cancer. They wouldn't stand in honor of Lake and Riley's mother and sister. I mean, they're just against anything that he is for. And so you're exactly right. So they're gonna be screaming from the hilltops if that takes place and Marco Rubio deports that guy. Hey, anybody that hates the country, and I've heard Bill Maher say this before. He said, hey, when you're in America and you're hating on America and burning the flag and saying death to America, I think that was happening in Michigan some months ago. He said, that's a real problem. Because if you want America to die, well, then you need to be shipped out of here because you're a danger to America, and we don't want people. You can't be on the team if you want the team to be destroyed. You just boil it down to. I remember when I came to be the pastor here at First Baptist Texarkana 22 years ago, we were having some trouble with some things. I said, listen. You can't be on the ship if you're drilling holes in the ship, trying to get it to sink. We're going to ask you. We're going to pull over to the port and ask you to get off. And you can disagree about how we're doing this, that, or the other. But if you try and destroy what we're doing and cause the ship to sink, well, then you're a danger, and we got to get you off. And so. I hadn't heard that, Tom, but I appreciate you calling in with that because we need to be watching for that and seeing what happens. I did see where Trump said he was talking about Columbia University, and he said, "Hey, we're gonna withhold federal funds if you're not gonna deal with the anti-Semitism on your campus, and if you're gonna be taken over by leftist." Ideologues that are pro-Palestinian on all the stuff that they were doing on those campuses, and hats off to him. I totally agree with that. And that, you know, that's the way Ronald Reagan handled the things at Berkeley way back when. He said, you come in with the National Guard. You don't let those people dictate to you how it's going to be. And you restore order through strength. So I appreciate the call, Tom. God bless you, brother. We have Christiana from Louisiana on the line. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Did I say your name right?
I'm good. Christina.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that every time I listen to you all the time, every morning on the way to work, and every time you say Trump derangement syndrome, it drives me crazy. Not because I don't believe that what people do and the way they act, but it's like it's a sickness, and it's not a sickness. It's strictly the hate in that person's heart. It's not a viable, and every time I hear Trump derangement syndrome, I'm like, no, this is strictly either stupidity or idiot. I don't know what it is, but it's the hate in their heart that comes out that way.
Yeah, you're right. That's that. You know, I think that's another name for it. But it's because they hate him, and the idea. If you look up Trump derangement syndrome, it's defined as the inability to reason anymore because his name is mentioned, and you're just it's more than just hatred. Now you're blinded by the hatred, and I didn't. Some people have commented when I posted that about being blinded by the hate, posted that on Facebook. They said, well, that can go both ways with, Republicans hating Democrats. And I said, well, yeah, it can, but you don't normally see that. I mean, I don't think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez makes much sense, but I don't hate her. I didn't think Joe Biden was mentally up to the challenge of being the president, and that obviously proved to be true as the debate showed. I disagree vehemently with the policies that he purported on our country, but I didn't hate the guy. I didn't wish him ill will. I didn't pray for God to kill him or anything like that. And so I think there's a difference, and let's face it, we have lots of Christians that are on the right. And Christians know that you don't hate a person. You can hate what they stand for. I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, as the Lord says in Revelation 2:6. So you can hate what people stand for, but you don't hate them. People are they're our mission field, and they can be used by the enemy, but they're not the enemy. And they're the ones that Jesus died for, and they're our mission field. They're the ones we're to witness to and shine and share, and hopefully they come to the light and receive Christ. So I appreciate that. That's a good point. And but I think that's kind of how that term is used. And you're exactly right. It's just hatred to the point that the Trump derangement syndrome term. It's hatred to the point that you can't reason anymore. You're going to be against that guy and anything he says or does, because you have been infected with hate toward him. So any other thing to add there, Christina?
No, sir. I totally agree with your opinion and assessment of it all. It just it's almost like when I hear it, and I do understand what you're saying as far as why we call it that. But it's like it's an excuse, you know, for you to act this way. And I guess that's how I feel.
Yeah. Definitely not an excuse. And people that are inflicted and infected with TDS, they get very upset when you call them out on that. Just like people don't like you to call them haters. And, you know, we use that term that's thrown around a lot. But when you really, truly hate somebody in your heart, as it says in 1 John chapter 3, well, you're a murderer because you have murder in your heart and you're guilty of that. As Jesus pointed that out when he put the Ten Commandments, and he upped the ante on the Ten Commandments. It's not just what you do externally, it's what you do internally. So you may not commit adultery in the physical, but you have in your mind, you have in your heart. He who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If you look on someone with hatred, well, you haven't murdered them, but you have in your heart. And so you are guilty before the Lord of murder. So I appreciate the call. Thanks so much for listening to the program. Well, we have Larry on the line from Indiana. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank
I got to make it quick, but I was told a long time ago that hating somebody is like taking poison and then expecting them to get sick and die.
Right.
It just tears you up. It doesn't do them any harm at all. And then helping a friend of mine through some tough times, explore why you hate somebody and what their struggles are. Once you start thinking about their motives or their struggles, it makes it hard to hate them. You start to feel bad for them. You start to want to help them out. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to stop trying to take the poison and expect them to get sick. So,
right. Well,
I think that's what Christ wants us to do, is to see somebody that's dealing with this kind of stuff, getting angry and hating, and then help them through that instead of hating who they are, but hate what they're doing, like you said.
Right. Yeah. So we as Christians, anybody can get bitter if you're not careful. You can get bitter at another person for wronging you. You can even get bitter at the Lord when circumstances happen in such a way that, you know, bring difficulty into your life, into your family. Many people have gotten bitter at the Lord. That's what Job's wife was dealing with, that when she told Job, curse God and die. And Job wouldn't do it, although Job was very, very upset, very distraught, didn't understand. So we bring our confusion to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I don't understand, but the key verse in the book of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And so what I have found, when someone wrongs you and you feel like you're getting this resentment and bitterness, and it's moving toward hatred in your heart toward this person, start praying for that person. Start praying that God would bless that person. Start praying in things in his life, that the Lord would move in his heart and in his life. And obviously, you know, hurting people hurt people. So if this person is a hurter of people, well, he's got a hurt, she's got a hurt in her heart. And so pray for that. It's hard to be bitter towards someone that you're praying for. And so I encourage people to do that, because, hey, this isn't just a left-right thing. This is all of us. We have to watch out so that hate doesn't get in our heart. So I appreciate it, Larry. Good comment. Linda, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for calling in. And let me just encourage you to go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray that God would give us an opportunity to see revival come to America as we call upon his name. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.